Hey, welcome to the program. Mr. Obama says we got nothing to worry about regarding Ebola. That makes me feel very confident, and we'll talk about more about that on today's...
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Program. I haven't slept in 3 days, Robin, and over there in the side of the...
And I've slept 24 hours in the last 12.
Yes.
Okay. I get lots and lots and lots. I try and make up for how much sleep Robin doesn't get by sleeping extra myself.
Yeah, I do appreciate that.
Yes. Any time I can help.
Yes. It just adds to my sleep bank. Unfortunately, you change the PIN number and I can't make a withdrawal.
Okay.
We got a lot to talk about today, folks. Well, we always have a lot.
Other than sleep.
Other than sleep. And even if we don't have a lot to talk about, we'll never admit it.
Oh, there's a bunch to talk about.
Yes. And before we dive in there, because we've been fighting at the bit, and one of the problems that we sometimes do on the program is that we do a show before doing a show, because some of the news articles just really get us going. But before we do the actual show, we'd like to invite you to this show by calling the show at 646-721-9887.
Okay.
646-72, Cliff's writing it down. 646-721-9887. And if you...
I don't have to write it down. I have it written on the top of my screen, and it's been there for a year now. It's written down there at the top of the screen. Of course, it's been there for a long time. And it's written in a certain height, certain size, and as my eyes get worse, I can't see it. So it's still there, though.
Broadcasting on the projector, and Cliff's wall is 646-721-9887, so he can see it. If you ever listen to the program, as hundreds do per week on the archives, you can still contribute to the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, very easy to remember. And in 2015, I'd like to get some more likes on our Facebook page, because for one thing, we get known more the more likes we have, and it also encourages Cliff and I to actually do something with it. So if you know, just go there, like the thing. You don't have to read anything at the moment, but just go like it. Let's get some numbers up there. So I'd like to do that. But meantime, I want to invite you.
But if you get numbers up there, what are you going to do to it? Anything interesting?
There's a lot of articles and comments, like what I did with the blog and stuff, that I want to start doing on our Facebook page. It's just the way Facebook is set up, unless you have so many likes, they can't find you.
Oh.
And so, you know, if I want to write an article and have nobody read it, well, it's like, why bother? So, but to do this.
Isn't there someplace other than Facebook that we can use that isn't quite so picky?
Well, I mean, I can always start doing the blog again, but I thought we'd like to get the Facebook page going, because it is the in social media.
Well, it's got to go away soon.
Well, who knows? They keep changing the rules and stuff. Anyways, despite Skype, one thing at a time. We got a few things that, like I said, we're going to talk about a little bit, and as I said at the opening of the show. Now, President Obama is coming out and saying, hey, guys, you're really making it more of a big deal than it is regarding Ebola. And, you know, I really don't understand why. In fact, I don't have the name in front of me. We even assigned an Ebola czar. So that's very comforting. You know?
Ron Klain.
Yes.
K-L-A-I-N. It's I guess it's not that hard to figure out. I don't know. It looks funny. But anyway, that's the new Ebola czar.
Yes.
Point man, they call him.
Which is kind of interesting. You know, like, say, the president is coming out and he says that, this is from the L.A. Times, President Obama urged Americans to keep the Texas Ebola case in perspective, saying that in a nation of more than 300 million people, only three cases have been diagnosed so far. He didn't say so far. He says this is a serious disease, but we can't give in to the hysteria or fear because that only makes it harder to get people the accurate information they need, according to Obama in his weekly radio address. Meanwhile, overseas, the World Health Organization said Saturday it's not commenting on the critical internal memo leaked to the Associated Press that acknowledges botched attempts to contain the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. So,
this is all happening in Africa. It's not happening here.
Yep.
Why are we bringing him here? In first place, this czar guy that we've had, that Mr. Obama has, President Obama has appointed, has no mental health, no public health background, no medical background, public health background, anything like that.
Oh, like the president's wife.
What about her?
Oh, well, telling the kids what they can eat.
Well, you know, we don't know what kind of background she has. She may have at least some. I doubt it. But it gets to me. Why are we paying attention to her? Why do we pay attention to her? She's nothing. She's not an elected official. She's not a non-elected official. She's not an official. She's just a wife.
Yes.
And that's all she's supposed to be. You know, the wives used to sit back and be in the background and help their husband. That's, you know, a lot of these president wives were very quiet and nice, but lately they seem to feel that they have to have an opinion about things. And I think their opinion should be kept to themselves.
Yeah, go get a hobby, and don't make us your hobby.
Anyway.
Reuters, I'm probably saying that wrong again.
Reuters,
thank you. Continuing the President Obama's weekly radio speech, he says, we just can't cut ourselves off from West Africa. Trying to seal off an entire region of the world, if that were even possible, could actually make the situation worse. Well, even Mexico is turning away ships and other people coming in with anybody that's suspected to even have Ebola. I mean, they're taking action. Of course, my screen closed. We got a school that is refusing to admit children that are coming from the West African region without a medical certificate,
even with a medical certificate, I think we should refuse. There's a time when you close the damn country down. We are in the midst of an emergency situation. We don't understand Ebola. We don't know about Ebola. Let's close it down.
Agreed.
My God, what are we sort of? We're just gluttons for punishment here.
Well, and that's the thing. But, you know, there's people that are going to be out there. I haven't heard it yet. Maybe you have, Cliff, because you got a little bit more time than I do. But I'm sure somebody's going to say, we're being racist if we don't allow these people to come in. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, we can't live our entire life worried about racist. I mean, that's a bunch of crap. We are not racist. We have some of every race right here in our country. We cannot all be considered to be racist. So consequently, that's not an acceptable excuse. It's not an acceptable statement. It's just absurd. Somebody that's dumb.
Especially when you're talking about a disease like Ebola, which we don't have a cure for. We got some experimental cures and stuff. And that it can, I mean, even just somebody sweating creates bodily fluids, and that can spread in that regard. How fast it's spreading, you know, in other countries and stuff, how it's becoming a crisis, and yet our president, which unfortunately has disrespected the office, in my opinion, to the point that I don't trust him. And to top that off is, like they're saying here, okay, to quote the CNBC, an Atlanta area public school district is refusing to enroll any new students, any, from three Ebola-affected countries in West Africa without special approval and a medical sign-off. The, I can't pronounce the name of the county, in Georgia district move came in light as President Obama is set to name former chief of staff to both Vice Presidents Joe Biden and Al Gore as the point man to coordinate the nation's response to the Ebola crisis. And that brings up the other point, too, is that we have got 50 to 70,000, quote-unquote, undocumented, unaccompanied children that are coming across the border that are being distributed, thanks to the Department of Education, throughout the U.S., and allowed to attend public schools without the medical certification that every American or every documented child has to go through to be admitted in school.
Yeah, that we're you know, Obama just, he doesn't think. He has no idea what's going on. He doesn't have no idea what to do about it, and he doesn't listen to anyone else. That's the problem I have now. It would be okay if he didn't know what he was doing and if he would appoint someone or talk to someone who maybe has a better idea of what's going on than he does. But he doesn't do that either. He doesn't pay any attention to anyone. And he just goes willy-nilly and helter-skelter and just lets these things go on. And as far as I'm concerned, we should send him to Africa and leave him there.
Well, the thing is that, like in a crisis like this, there's times you just got it, like you said, you just got to shut it down. We still do not have a ban, a travel ban, even a temporary one from the other countries, or some type of isolation or whatever, which is why this one guy was able to come into the country with Ebola and get $500,000 worth of care. He died. His relatives are suing over all that, and two of the nurses wound up getting the Ebola virus, or at least suspected of. Plus the fact, according to news articles afterwards, even though there was a suspected of, the hospitals were not prepared.
Well, no, they're not prepared. This is something new. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to do it. And regardless, you know, they've closed down one hospital, this hospital in Texas. Right. It's just closed. There's nothing there anymore. And the hospitals there, but there's no people, and they won't let people in there. And there's no reason for this. We shouldn't have this problem. If there was a problem, if that's the first place that the first Ebola patient was sent to, and they tried very hard to help him out, that's fine.
Right.
And if we would have closed it down, that's fine. But we're still letting people go somewhere else. And the thing is, we should keep that hospital open strictly for Ebola patients, if necessary, and just send everybody there. You know, clear it out of everybody else, and well, we've done that. It doesn't have anybody else in it now, so let's just make it for Ebola patients. So if we have any problem, we have a place to send people. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't be bringing them in. They shouldn't be coming in. So far, as far as I can haven't there been two people, and haven't they both died? Or I know one of them has.
Yeah, one has, and two have been diagnosed so far. And here's the thing: is that just like in West Africa, it starts somewhere and it can spread, especially when you are bringing people in that have not had the immunity or not have shots or not immune. I don't know if we have any.
There's no immunity. There's nothing to do. We don't know what to do. It kills people, period.
Exactly. And once it gets going, that's the thing, is that once it gets going, it would be an outbreak here. And we're still, like I said, we haven't taken any measures to prevent it, you know, from the border to airlines to whatever, to even trying to get this under control.
Well, it says that there's a vaccine coming, supposedly. There are two vaccines being tested right now in clinical trials, and there's a lot of other efforts that are underway to try and move any vaccine forward that might do the job. Any kind of development, it takes a long time to do this. It doesn't just something, you know, I mean, I understand that Ebola is not something that it was just came up last month. It's been around here for months. But still, that's not enough time to put the things together. And even if it takes more time to design and build the vaccine, then it's going to take even more time to manufacture the vaccine. Because, you know, obviously we're going to have a lot of it, and we don't have a lot of it. We don't have any of it.
That's right.
And it's just, we're just sitting here talking about this. And, I mean, I understand that I'm talking about this. I'm not in a position to make the decisions. But believe me, if I was, the decisions would be different than they are right now.
Well, look at the swine flu or the A1N1 virus, how that went. I mean, they ran out of vaccines and stuff and how that was handled. But
yeah, but with this one, we didn't even have it in this country. It's not part from this country. We're the ones who invited it in. Why?
Right. Well, and we have a lot of diseases that have been eradicated in this country that are some are now third world diseases that are starting to show up here because, again, we got people that are coming to the window and we're inviting them in.
Well, you know, we've been through this before. I don't know how we stop them. I don't know how we stop these people from coming in. People can come in from Canada, and they are coming in from Canada, by the way. The people are going up to Canada and coming down from there because the border on the south is harder to get through. It's actually being controlled a little bit. The border in the north is not being even a little bit controlled. It's just wide open. You can drive through in different places and from here to Canada, and there's no border. There's nothing there to stop people. You just drive through. I mean, it's just like going from one town to another. There's no border whatsoever. And we need to have something, perhaps even a little more. And I hate to see this thing, because Canada is a kind of a nice place to have friends.
Right.
And to have our friends and to be able to converse with our friends and to go back and forth and have nothing in the way. But we're going to destroy that if we keep going, and we're going to have to do something to stop doing it.
Well, on top of that is that, you know, at some point we got to take it seriously. Like, for example, and again, this is according to Reuters News Service, is the worst Ebola outbreak on record has killed more than 4,500 people, most of them, of course, in West Africa, countries of Libya, and a couple I can't pronounce. But the thing is that this political correctness thing, for one, you know, we're, like I said, we're bringing people in. At some point, we're just going to have to take things serious. And when the president's coming out and saying not to worry about it, and he runs off, okay, I'll give you an example of the, and I apologize, folks, because, like I say, I haven't slept in a couple of days, so I'm a little bit slow here. But like the last crisis we had on one of the beheadings, you know, the president got up, made a speech, and, well, you know, we really feel bad, you know, that he lost his head, and, you know, we were going to go after the people. Okay, thanks. Okay, I'm back to my golf game. You know, when the president doesn't even pretend like he's taking things seriously, I guess is where I'm going with all of that, and trying to tell us not to worry, and yet we're seeing news articles about other countries having this Ebola outbreak and how it's killing, how fast it's, you know, I mean, yeah, three people so far, one dead, and who knows, and that's just what's being reported so far. We don't really know the numbers. We know that the CDC has been going through and scrubbing, like you said, closed down a hospital. They're scrubbing apartments at possible exposure. They're taking it somewhat seriously, but keeping it kind of QT. And my confidence in our president to handle a real crisis, I mean, he doesn't even show up for his daily briefings.
I know. By the way, you were mentioning all these kids that have been distributed throughout the country.
Right.
The Ebola thing supposedly only lasts 21 days. It's only after that it dies. And so consequently, I think we're pretty well safe on most of these kids. They've been up there a while.
Well, okay, that depends. Because they come in, they're the process, and they're shipped out. And all it takes is just one to go into a school population of several thousand. And they can spread like wildfire from there.
Well, again, see, I think we're a little bit carried away with this spreading business. If at this particular point, I know because I've been watching it on television for days now, because that's the only thing that's on the news channels on television is the Ebola thing. But the thing is, people are scared. People are absolutely petrified about this. And anything that happens, for example, if these kids went to school and had a fever and started coughing and started anything like that, the people are not going to put up with it. People are going to send them home, going to do whatever it is necessary to take care of them. And that's the thing that's going to happen, because the people of the United States are getting upset. I mean, it's been in the news so much now. Everything in the news, everything is about that. I mean, today, I watched the news all day today. I wanted to get some information. I've got about 8-9 different stories here that I'd like to cover that are interesting, but they're not Ebola. And I went and watched the television, and I sat there for an hour and a half on the different news channels. Every news channel was covering the same thing. Every news channel was saying the same thing. And it was all about Ebola. And basically, they were saying, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we don't.
And to top that off, and again from CNBC, and I'm quoting here, U.S. Representative Tim Murphy, chairman of the House Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee, said this appointment regarding that czar is both shocking and frankly tone-deaf to what the American people are concerned about. Installing yet another political appointee who has no medical background or infectious disease control experience will do little to reassure Americans who are increasingly losing confidence with the administration's Ebola strategy. Murphy said, not one of the medical experts who testified at our hearings yesterday said what is needed to stop the spread of Ebola virus is a czar. And I'm going to skip forward a little bit. Spokesman and chairman operative with no relevant experience telling them what to do. We need leadership from the president and changes to the current policies to end the scourge of Ebola here and in West Africa.
Okay, first of all, we know one thing that we better get in our heads. We're not going to get leadership from our president. We're not going to get leadership from that area of the government, because it's not going to happen. I mean, the man's been there for 6 years and hasn't figured out, well, I was going to say something bad, but never mind. Hasn't figured out what he's doing yet. And so consequently, we can forget that. It's not going to happen. Now, he has named a czar, so to speak, and this man doesn't have any medical experience. I don't know. We haven't given him a chance at least to find out if he's at least open to listening to someone who does have experience, at least open to going and talking to people who know what they're talking about and know what they're doing and doing something in response to that. At least he's got the authority to do something about it, I hope, and that's the thing he needs to do. This man, if he's got any smarts at all, and I hope he does, he's served as pretty high persons. He knows what he's doing as far as the government, as far as that's part of it's concerned, and how to make things happen. So consequently, maybe he'll listen to the right people and make things happen. I mean, he's got the entire medical community ready to give him, I'm sure, their opinion of how it works. And that's all it is an opinion, because nobody knows what we're dealing with here.
Exactly. And even the World Health Organization has admitted that it botched the attempt to stop the now spiraling, I'm quoting CNBC again, Ebola outbreak in West Africa, blaming factors including incompetent staff and lack of information.
Well, I don't know where CNBC is getting their material, but the same simple thing is we've got to give this guy Clean a chance, because you can't shut him down without even giving him a chance. I mean, the guy's got some smarts. He's not dumb, and maybe he can work something out with someone, and he's president of a holding company. He's a businessman. And he knows how to make things happen. Let's put it that way. And let's give him a chance to at least try to make things happen. So maybe he doesn't know the business of the medicine, but if he's willing to talk to people who do, and if he's as smart as they're saying, and we're seeing that he is, maybe he can talk to them, and with the help, and I don't know how many people, he's probably got thousands of people that are willing and ready to talk to him about it, but between them they can accomplish something. But let's let him give him a chance, and then maybe we'll have to change the people. But it's not Obama, that's for sure.
Well, like I said, you know, the trust and whatever. As I'm scanning news articles, you know, with everything going on, here's kind of a related, well, it's not really a related news article, but this is what the president's focused on. You probably have seen on Facebook and others where the president got turned down from paying a bill with his personal credit card. Michelle had to kind of come in and pay for it. On Friday, this is according to Reuters, on Friday the 17th, the president signed an executive order to beef up security measures for a federal security card, urging banks and retailers to follow suit in an effort to combat the growing threat of identity fraud. So apparently it worked because in a way it accepts his credit card. That's just a little side note because I'm, like I said, I'm...
What does this have to do with anything?
Nothing except, but like I said, I'm just going through looking for more news articles on the Ebola, and that headline came up, and that was one of the issues that was in the news.
Which had nothing to do with Ebola.
That's why I said it was a side note.
Well, I don't care if a president ever gets to use his card. I understand what's happening there. It's just he's had the card forever, and for 6 years he hasn't used it. Well, that's his problem, and that's his fault. And if he can't even figure out how to use a credit card, then why are we letting him run our country?
Exactly.
You know, how is Ebola spread? We don't know how Ebola spread. I mean, at this particular point, close contact, that means you have to cough on a person, you have to lick a person or something like that, very close contact. Well, let's not give people a chance to do that. That's the thing. Everybody is panicky in this country right now, and it's getting worse, not better. And the news media is continuing to talk about it over and over and over again, even though they don't know anything about it. They're learning things as we go along. So I found it rather sad that I couldn't get any other news on the television. I mean, just none at all. There was nothing being talked about, period.
Well, maybe this would be one of, you know, a blessing in disguise in some respects, as the fact that, you know, the president has already proven that in a crisis he is nowhere to be found, you know, either, well, he's not taking anything seriously. You know, we have a crisis or something happens in the world that normally, you know, a president would pretend that that's important instead of going off and playing golf or going and do another fundraiser.
Well, he has taken, stayed at home on this, finally, on this last thing.
But, I mean, look at his history, though. I mean, like I said, he has a habit of not even paying attention to his daily briefings. And what they keep doing, in fact, there's already been somebody saying that Ebola is a Republican's fault because of the lack of funding on the funding cuts on the CDC. You know, so they're already putting partisan issues into this. It's like this, they got to stop playing this Democrat-Republican game and get serious, you know, and I'm not talking just the president. I'm talking about all those quote-unquote representatives up there. And, you know, that's what we put them there for. We don't put them there to whine that, well, we got to come across and shake hands with people across the aisle. Guys, you're there for one damn reason only. And this game thing and coming in, becoming millionaires and doing whatever, if you want to do that, go to the private sector or do something.
You can't get rich in the private sector.
Well, not
it's a lot harder.
But, you know, when we're talking seriously, especially about literally the health of the country, and we can't even do something as simple as putting a temporary ban, even just a travel ban, into this country. You know, people coming from an infected country will understand the inconvenience.
Well, the travel ban is being instilled without us having to try it. The airlines and things are actually just they won't fly these people, and I don't blame them. You don't want to go to that country and have this sort of thing hop onto your airplane or whatever you're there in. I mean, that's ridiculous. So consequently, the travel ban is going to be there, and it's going to be the airlines and other transportation sources that are going to do it without us having to take charge of it. The thing is, we've got to stop allowing it to be land. How, you know, our country is so big and so porous that it's hard to stop people from doing things. I understand that, but there's got to be a point where our government has some sort of control over things, and we haven't seen it yet.
Well, even this according to the Hill, cruise ship with Ebola nurse turned away from Mexico. Carnival cruise ship reportedly carrying a nurse who treated the first person diagnosed with Ebola in the U.S. is being turned away. So at least give Mexico credit for taking some stance.
Well, see, other countries are doing this. It's our country that's not, and it's our country that's being... it's our country that's being led by an idiot.
Yeah.
And consequently, there's got to be something that changes. Now, if that means that we need to change that idiot right now, fine. But I don't think we have to do that. We just need to ignore him and allow he's permitted, he's appointed this Ron Klain to do something. We don't know exactly what because he doesn't know exactly what. But again, we need to give him a chance to at least make it a possibility, you know, look into it. I mean, the man has been appointed, what, 3 hours ago?
Yeah,
maybe 5 or 6 hours ago now.
But how would you like to be on this Carnival Cruise Line? And ladies and gentlemen, we have been denied permission to park at this port here.
Carnival Cruise Lines are so, you know, those huge boats are so big, I wouldn't mind. I mean, they're equipped to keep you going for months and months without...
Right, but the point is that how would you like to be one of the passengers and being told that, we're being refused port here because we have somebody that may be infected with a contagious disease, and now you're trapped?
Well, see, once again, I am only comforted by the fact that I keep hearing by everyone. Now, I don't know if it's first absolutely true or how much it is, but 21 days. So if you've been contained for 21 days anywhere, then your chances of carrying it or passing it or anything are almost zilch. And so consequently, and that's what everybody is saying. Now, I'm at this particular point accepting people because it's everybody, not just a couple of people here and a couple of people there, not just a couple of people on television and that, but everybody that I see talking about it says the 21-day response is for good. So consequently, they can put them out there on that and that boat. I'm sorry, it's not supposed to be called a boat, ship.
Yes.
For 21 days, and then they can think about bringing him back in. And anywhere. I mean, the thing is, we need to put a stop to everybody coming across our borders, period, for 21 days until we know what's going on. We've got to have some sort of an idea of what's going on. We don't know what's going on. We don't know who's going where, why they're going there, how they're going there, if they're going there, and if they're falling over dead when they get there. It's just ridiculous. We have no idea what's going on.
Rich, I should mention, by the way, I went to a restaurant.
Yeah, I don't think that's me.
Not me.
And my credit card was rejected.
Maybe it was me. It's one of my bitch and moans about...
I didn't have anything up, so...
No, it might have been me. It's just one of those... When I went through class on how to create a website, one thing that they told you to do is never have an autoplay when you open a web page, and just one just started playing on its own. Unfortunately, it happened to be the one that's hosting the program.
We have tons of them on the air now, yeah, autoplay. Everybody that thinks that's neat.
But what I was going to add here is a little bit more about that nurse in the Carnival Cruise Line here. I got slowly distracted by unwelcome background. The Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital employee and partner and a partner boarded the Carnival cruise ship on October 12th in Galveston before the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention updated the requirement for active monitoring, quote-unquote, according to U.S. State Department. Although the worker is healthy, the U.S. government said that it had been working with the cruise line to get the ship back to America without an abundance of caution. The employee did not come into direct contact with Duncan, the first Ebola patient who was diagnosed in the U.S. However, she may have been exposed to his chemical specimens, according to the State Department.
Oh, God.
Yes.
This is even worse. I mean, now we've got, we're shipping his specimens all over the world.
Yeah.
Let's grow up, folks. God, how dumb can we be?
Amber Vinson, V-I-N-S-O-N, was diagnosed with Ebola earlier this week, a day after she flew with a fever on a Frontier Airlines flight from Cleveland back to Dallas. Since then, the CDC has contacted 132 passengers who flew with her. However, officials said Thursday she may have shown symptoms as many as 4 days before the initial initially indicated. So now the CDC says it's busily tracking all the passengers who are on her first flight, which, you know, it's nothing to worry about, folks. You know, just,
well, we seem to think that we can go after it. It's impossible. We're not going to be able to get away. Isn't she the one who called in and told them she was sick before she went on the flight? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, people, they know what's going on. She shouldn't be flying someplace. She should be seeing a doctor.
Well, just like a few of them, I don't have it in front of me, but by memory, that I think it was a news crew that was asked to go into voluntary quarantine and refused.
Then you don't ask them. You inform them you are going into quarantine. Well, I mean, this is not a game, folks. This is people dying. Okay. Perhaps they aren't dying here, but they're dying by the thousands in other places, and let's not let it happen here.
That's why, getting back to the beginning of the program, that's why we need to take it seriously, even like Mexico's taking it seriously. You know, do the travel ban. Yeah, you're going to inconvenience a few people, but you might be able to contain this. As Obama said, we have 300 million people in the United States alone, and we come in contact on our, it's amazing. If you try to keep track how many people you come in contact in on a daily basis, how easy it would be to spread this. I mean, like the old commercial, you know, you tell two people and so on and so on. It could become an uncontrolled epidemic in a real short time.
Very short time.
Yeah, if we don't take precautions. Granted, that's fear-mongering in a sense. You know, somebody may be in school and you hear a child go, and everybody's going to, like in the movies, go screaming, running out the door. But on the other side of the coin, if we don't treat it as a real threat because of the seriousness of the disease, you know, like they said, the most, over 4,000 people have died because of Ebola.
Well, you know, the thing is, we just don't pay attention. We've got this Texas hospital that's closed because everybody's gone and they're all afraid. So let's open it up. Let's put people in it. There's 1,000 rooms there we can put people in, and we could keep them apart from each other and keep them safe, supposedly, and only safe to a certain extent because, you know, the thing is, I've seen the pictures of these people who put on these spacesuit things that are supposed to keep them clean. That's ridiculous, too.
Yeah.
You know, you put a thing over your head that comes down to your chest, and that doesn't keep anything out.
It doesn't
at all. And it's absurd. So let's just keep people there that are there until we get the thing straightened out. I mean, this 21-day infectious period has got to have a thing to do with things. You know, there's got to be something to do with that. We've got to be able to put people in there and take care of them. But there's got to be a limit to how many people. We can't just go every time somebody gets sick in South Africa somewhere, bring them in and send them to that hospital. No. We've got to put the people that are infected here
in fact,
in there.
On that point, they should not have brought them. Well, actually, that one guy, we did bring one guy over, I think, but one person came over by himself and lied, and I think that's the one that died, Duncan.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. But the thing is, if you're, you know, that, okay, let's face it, that sort of pushes home the effect that if you lie about this thing, you're going to die.
Exactly.
This is not a game. I mean, let's do something about it. If you don't lie about it, there's a possibility we could do something for you. But if you are going to lie about it and not tell anybody about it, you're going to die.
Exactly.
So let's get smart.
And in the chat room here, Lady Michelle is saying that the Ebola virus lives in sperm for up to 70 days. Why should we believe the 21-day crap? And to kind of go along with that point, according
to... Where did she get that information?
Maybe she'll provide that.
I've never heard that anywhere.
According to the CDC, Ebola is transmitted through bodily fluids such as vomit, urine, saliva, sweat, feces, breast milk, and semen. And I don't want to know the details of most of that. But anyways, and it's not clear if any what protective gear that this nurse, this hospital worker was wearing when at the time of contact. And this is the one that was on the ship. But again, the one of the complaints that the nurses had at the time is that they were not prepared. They were doing makeshift environmental suits, including even taking some tape and wrapping it around their neck for added protection, like that will do anything.
Yeah. The thing is, we've got to stop it. I know it would be nice if we could take care of the rest of the world and we could be nice to the rest of the world and all that sort of thing. But we've got to say to hell with the rest of the world and take charge of our people in this country. We've got to put them all together. We've got to figure out what to do with them. And if we can control their comings and goings and in this country, then, you know, I that's 70 days or whatever it was you were just mentioning. I have never heard that anywhere, anytime. So consequently, I don't necessarily, I'm not inclined to believe that.
No.
But I do know the 21-day thing has been mentioned over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
I have on Thursday, Daniel Vargra, the chief clinical officer for the Texas Health Resource, which oversees the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital, said in a submitted statement on a congressional committee that today every person at the Texas Health Dallas or at Texas Health Dallas who had had contact with the known Ebola patient is under active monitoring for 21 days after their last contact with the patient. So there's their 21 number, or partly 21 number. But again, where does that start? Hi, how you doing? I'll see you in 21 days.
Well, yeah, if necessary. I mean, you know, that, for example, the ship that's out there, that's ideal. I mean, you've got people stuck on there. They can't go anywhere until they're clean. I mean, even if it's 70 days that they have to stay out there. I know that's sad, and it's kind of hard on you, but the thing is, it's better than infecting thousands of people in the United States. I mean, right now, we've got 60 hospitals in Texas that are about to be closed because of this thing. I mean, it's getting carried away, and we've got to stop doing this, and we've got to try and control what's happening to us. It's just too many people are involved, and we've got to keep them out of the United States. Now, if we've got to stop kids coming in from the South, then we need to get smart and literally spend some money, and every child that comes across the border, we've got to, you know, we don't have to hurt them or anything. We just have to control them. We have to grab them and put them in a hospital someplace or somewhere until this is all over. I mean, it will end, believe it or not. Sometimes you're not sure, but it will end.
Lady Michelle just provided me a link at health24.com, Ebola survivors can infect others with their sperm. And I'm going to kind of scan through here. With Ebola kills about 70% and 90% of those infected, it's important not to forget that there is a large number who survive the virus and return home. These people may seem to be free of the infection, but there's still the potential of them to spread the disease. I'm going to try and skip through.
And how long is it? Can they spread it?
Yeah, let's see. I'm kind of reading as we're talking here. So, male survivors are the exception to this rule, as they can still harbor the live virus in their sperm, which can be transmitted sexually to an uninfected partner. Sperm produced by the testes prior to the infection being defeated can survive long after recovery, as the scrotum provides a highly conductive environment to survival, with 1,848 cases confirmed as of the 9th of August. Even a 90% fatality rate would leave almost 200 survivors who, if male, would be able to pass the disease. And like I said, I don't see the 70-day thing here, but it...
Well, we're not. I'm not ready to believe that this is going to continue on forever. I'm just not ready to believe that. There's got to be there's got to be a stop to it. I mean,
well, not if we don't take it serious. I mean, even I got a thing here from the Washington Post, which is the head of the CDC director's challenge, deadly virus. Sometimes I need to sleep. Deadly Ebola virus and the outbreak of criticism is what they're saying. And he's saying that although some senators and stuff are wanting to do the travel ban, he's saying that there's really no need to. He's arguing the point that he says that, the Republican who won an absolute travel ban on people from West Africa because of the Ebola epidemic, this CDC director thinks that's a misguided idea that will backfire. But, of course, the senator is not convinced. Well, you know...
Well, we got to do something, and we don't know what we're doing yet. So, I mean, why put a stop to anything?
Well, it's all a precaution. I mean...
Exactly.
If you go into somebody's house and they have a kid that's hacking their head off because they have the flu, if you hang around, there's a good chance that you may get the flu. Yes, it's airborne, but still, I mean, and then you may not have the flu, but you may be a carrier for the flu and not even know it.
Yeah.
And then one person can, we've all worked at places where somebody's kid has a cold, and next thing you know, half of the company is out with the cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was saying, is that transmission of bodily fluids, including sweat. Well, if somebody comes in, they sneeze. What happens to a sneeze? A sneeze is very wet.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It never hurts when you're dealing with a deadly disease. You may quote overkill the precaution, but a little bit of inconvenience and still be alive. You know.
That's the point. Let's face it, it'd be nice to at least stay alive. I mean, if we can do it, and it's no more than an inconvenience. I mean, like I say, even 70 days, if someone were to have that problem, it's still an inconvenience. I'd put up with it, as simple as that. I'd rather be inconvenienced for 70 days, 80 days, a year,
right?
Then die.
Well, I guess, again, you know, you asked me earlier why the relevance to the credit card executive order is, again, it gets back to the confidence thing. I mean, there's some things like, you know, having increasing security on credit cards may be important. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not concerned about the federal credit card at the moment. I'm more concerned about something that can go kill myself or my friends and neighbors or family or whatever else. You know, I'd rather have the president be spending more time and his staff worrying about that than fundraising, playing golf, and worrying about credit card regulations.
Well, you see, that's what I'm trying to say is let's not worry about the president saying doing anything. Let's have somebody else doing it. Let's put somebody else in there. Let him assign somebody else who can actually do something about it, who can actually think about it, who can actually accomplish something, because I don't believe he's going to. I don't believe anything that he can. I don't believe he even can.
I think the thing that's going to do this is, like you said, that some companies are taking it on themselves, including other countries, are taking it on themselves to have the travel ban and to take steps. Because if we're expecting our federal government to do it, like under its current leadership, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got to put something together to have someone do it and someone that can be relied on.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think our president is one of those.
No, I don't.
I mean, I'm the guy, you know, let's not blame him. He may be just absolutely a stupid person, just like I believe he is, and he's way in over his head. We've known that he's way in over his head. It's not something new, let's face it. And so why are we getting upset about it? Let's just continue on, and let's find a way to have somebody do it. I mean, if he can't do it, let's have him. He's the one person who can assign somebody to do it and get it done.
Again, notice Washington Post. The CDC guidelines seem to be easily evaded by the virus. Most notably, on Monday, the CDC was informed by healthcare worker Amber Benson that she was running a temperature of 99.5 degrees, but the CDC did not prevent her from boarding a commercial jetliner and flying from Cleveland to Dallas. Her temperature was below the threshold of 100.4 degrees that the agency has established for screening of travelers from West Africa.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just we've got a thing that's happening here, and we're going to have to do something about it. And we have to understand that it's not going to be our president that does it. It's going to be somebody else. So he's appointed this person, Ron Klain, and let's give him a chance to do something about it and see if anything has changed. It'll be interesting to see when we come back next week with this show what's happened, because, you know, it's pretty important to everybody.
Well, it's literally a life and death situation. You know, we either contain it now or, like I said, 300 million people are at risk, literally, of being exposed to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, like I said, we got, you know, our boat going back to the borders, and over 50,000 to 70,000 people that have crossed this year alone. All it takes is one of them to be infected, and, you know, you wind up with a whole bunch of carriers, and it can, especially the way we're shipping them all through the U.S., it can spread. It can literally be the destruction of the United States as we know it.
Well, if it's gone so far as to destroy the United States, I'm afraid of what it's going to do with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the world is going to be, is always way ahead of us in something like this, and it's too bad. So, but it's something we've got to think about, and we've not been taking it seriously, and that's what we've got to do, is take it seriously. So, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, I just hope that for once we do something right.
Would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I wish I had more confidence. Like I said, the office of the president, which used to hear people really concerned about the office of the president, not so much the president itself, but, you know, held the high standards. As one of the talk show hosts that I listened to mentioned, that Obama worked so hard to get into the White House, now he works so hard to stay out of it.
Well, the thing is, yeah, I see what you're saying, and I see what they're saying. I don't know. Let's write him off. That's all we can do. He can't do the job, so we need to stop messing around with him and find somebody who can. And, you know, if he's had enough smarts, at least to invite someone in to do the job. Let's give him a chance to do the job and see what happens. You know, it's an important thing that's going on, and we're not taking it seriously.
2008, we decided, people decided we need a change, and so we put in a different president, so to speak, other than the Bushes and the Clintons and those type of realms, because we're hoping that we believe the hope in change, and some people went ahead blindly and reelected him again, for hope and change or for whatever reason, and unfortunately he's proven that he can't do the job and he's not fit for the job, and the confidence of the White House in what we're being told is just totally ruined.
Well, that's, and it's sad that we've lost confidence in the White House and the people in there. But the thing is, if that's done, it's done. Let's find out who to go to next and take it to someone who can do the job. And he's already, he's indicated. I don't know why he picked this guy who has no experience at anything to do this, but there must be some reason. And if he did give him a chance to do it and the guy doesn't know what he's doing, let's hope the guy will then, somewhere along the line, learn. Somehow or another, he'll take it upon himself to figure out how to do this job. And then maybe we can accomplish something. But I don't know. It's just so sad that we're stuck between the devil and the deep blue sea at the moment.
On this one here, and I can't pronounce the name of the country. Belize, Belize.
Belize.
Belize. Also, excuse me, puts in a travel block, and the airline is contacting 800 passengers. Dang, autoplay.
Well, you see, the thing that's going on now is we're letting it go, and it's expanding and spreading, and it's spreading faster than we can control it, and that's why we've got to take a stand and do something right now, because if we let it go much longer, it's going to get out of hand and we're not going to be able to stop it.
So this week, and again, this is from CNN, the Central American country closed its borders to anyone who has been anywhere near the disease. An airline scrambled to inform hundreds of passengers that they have been on a plane that carried someone who has since come down with Ebola, which is very smart, let people know. When U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry asked the government of Belize to help evacuate a Dallas hospital worker from a cruise ship off its coast on Friday, officials declined to let her on shore. Good for them. The employee of the South Texas Preston Lab was like, okay, let's get into a little bit more.
Well, you see, and because of this, we've got Texas, 60 hospitals in Texas are ready to close.
Yeah.
Right now. And it's going to, and that's not, we're, why can, how do we feel that we can be allowed to, or how can we allow the, to destroy a whole state in the process of not paying attention? We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and so we're going to allow the whole state to be destroyed? That's what it looks like we're doing.
At least, if nothing else, for the time kind of flew, at least if nothing else, other countries are taking it more serious. And, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like panicking a little bit, but at least they're taking action. I understand on one hand, you don't want, I want to hear more about our government taking steps, not just assigning a czar or whatever, and then go play golf.
Yeah. Well, come back next week and we'll talk about it.
Feel free to chime in. We'll be back in 4 p.m. Pacific time next Saturday. Thank you, Lady Michelle, for contributing.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.